It's important, you know, to pray for my health, and that I stay healthy and preach in the meetings and the places that I go, and all of that, and our needs and vehicle replacement need. Pray about that. And 400,000 miles. Thank God. You know, Brother Bacon was asking me, now how many gallons of gas is that? Oh, yeah, I know that right off the top of my head. You know? Huh. Oh, man, I barely passed bonehead math, and you're asking me that? So pray with us about that. But you know, we just keep traveling down the road, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved. And lives changed and hearts encouraged and drawn to a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And to have that desire to be closer to God, walking with God, allowing Him to guide us and lead us, and then to direct us in the ways that we need to go. And so we've had revival all week long, and hopefully this may be the last night of the meeting, but we want the revival to continue. We want the revival fire to continue to burn bright and bold for the cause of Christ, to persevere and be used of God, and to spend more time with the Lord, and give more of our talents, abilities, and allowing God to use us to take up that cross and follow Jesus. Amen. And that's revival. And hopefully God has kindled a fire of revival in your life. How many of you say God's kindled a fire of revival? Say amen. Amen. And praise God. And so we want to keep the fire going. Amen. Keep the fire going in your life. And I'm going to read some verses to kind of preach about that tonight out of the book of Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And verse number 1, of course, Apostle Paul, he's on the last part of his, people refer to it as a missionary journey. I like to call it an evangelistic crusade. But anyways, he's headed to Rome. He's crash landed on this island. And we notice here that the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. And for they kindled a fire. And hopefully God has done that in your hearts this week. Amen. Has kindled a fire, and that's what we need, to have that fire, to have that zeal, have that excitement, have that joy in serving Jesus. No greater joy than being in the direct center of God's will, serving Him with all of our heart and all of our soul. We're not on this earth to live for pleasure. We're here to lay up treasure and to be used of God to make a difference in the process, advancing the cause of Christ upon this sin-soaked society that has rejected the truths of the Word of God. But God wants us to not only experience that fire in our life, but we want it to continue and a constant and a perpetual type of fire God wants you to have in your life. You don't want to come to the place in your Christianity where the fire has died out. How many people today have allowed the fire to die out? And we're seeing Christianity today, how that's happened in many pockets, many areas of our country. And God establishes a ministry like this on the precepts and principles of God's Word, having the fire, and see the fire continue to burn for the glory of God. The last thing you want to see is for the fire to go out in the First Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. And how many Christians today have somewhere along the line? I mean, listen, Satan, he's going to do everything to try to pour cold water, try to extinguish your flame. And the Bible says here that they kindled this fire, received everyone because of the present rain, because of the cold. Now notice, Paul, he gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Now Paul did not want to see the fire die out. Amen. And so he took some initiative And he saw that maybe the fire might have been dying out a little bit. And so he got up and determined to do something about it. Amen. We as God's people, that's the attitude, the spirit we need to have. Amen. Not just sit around and let the fire die out, but get up and do something about it. And determine not to let that fire die out. And, you know, to have that perpetual revival in your heart, constant, continual, you need to determine to maintain that flame. Who's with me? Maintain the flame. And you know, for a vehicle to go 400,000 miles, there has to be some maintenance. Have to be some maintenance. You're not going to have a vehicle that lasts very long if you don't maintain some things. And changing the oil. Who's with me? And the things like that, that you have to do. Change the tires and you know, different things. Some things might wear out. You know, but you want to maintain that flame in your life. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul set out to do. When the Bible tells us that he gathered this a bundle of sticks and it went over and he placed them on that fire. Amen. He didn't go off and try to start his own fire. Who's with me? He was concerned not just about the fire, but he was concerned about the faithful. He was concerned about the other people that were around him, how important it is for us to maintain that flame, not just for us, but for others. Amen. Others that are around, perhaps, you know, during the storm, during the, you know, battle and how they were battling that storm and pulling on the ropes and all of the sails and doing the different things. And I mean, it was tough. It was a hard situation. And the winds, Rockladon, winds, hurricane type winds. Can you imagine trying to battle a storm like that? And so I'm sure that after they had, you know, run the ship aground and made it back up into that shore, and they saw that fire, they were grateful for it. You know, some of those folks might have been injured. Some of them might have just been so wore out that maybe it was a little bit more difficult for them to maintain that flame. But the Apostle Paul, he just wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for others. Amen. For others. And how important that is for you and I to recognize this fire that we need to have. And for it to continue to burn in our heart. And there's some important, imperative reasons why we need to maintain that flame. Are you with me? Say amen. We need to maintain that flame, number one, to avoid coldness. You don't maintain that flame, you're going to grow cold. You're going to grow cold. And how many people today, how many Christians, how many ministries, I mean people today that have just, they've grown cold. They've grown indifferent about some things. And Paul didn't want, you know, they started that fire because of the present rain and the cold. Amen. And because it was cold. And the last thing they wanted is for that flame to die out. And then what's going to happen? Everybody's going to get cold. Everybody's going to get cold. And that's the last place you want to be as a Christian. To be that cold, indifferent type of individual. You know, being from Minnesota, we know what it means to get cold. Amen. It gets cold. But you spend any amount of time out in the cold, it's not long before what? You're going to become numb. Who's with me? You're going to get numb. And, you know, numb. And you won't be able to, you won't be able to feel anything. You're not going to have that heart. Not going to have that compassion. You're going to get cold, become numb. And the word of God, when it's preached, is not going to have the effect, not going to have the impact that it needs to have in your life when you're sitting there with a cold heart, numb, not able to have any type of compassion for revival. Amen. And a lot of people today have allowed themselves to grow cold that way. And they get, they get that way, and the fire dies out, and they start getting cold, and any amount of time they go without, they get numb. And then it's not long before you start to suffer from what? Hypothermia. And that's where most people die in the cold, is from hypothermia. And hypothermia, you know, when you read about hypothermia, it affects your mind. It affects your mind. And you start to become, disoriented and delirious. And you get to the place where you're so cold and numb, you start taking your clothes off because you think, you're okay and everything's fine. When in reality, you're standing there in 45 below weather and you become cold and you got numb and so much that your head, you're not even be able to think properly. How many times do Christians get to that place in their life where they start making decisions that just don't seem to be in agreement and accordance with the Word of God? Who's with me? How many Christians today suffering from spiritual hypothermia, delirious, and disoriented spiritually about some things, and their thinking is not proper? The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And Paul said in Philippians, think on these things. And he's talking about things that are just, honest, things that are pure, things that are lovely. And these are positive things, not negative thinking. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But the devil, he puts those negative thoughts in our life, and we get negative spirits. And I'm telling you, there's something that the devil uses to extinguish a fire, pour cold water. It is a negative attitude. Amen. Negative. Always bellyaching, always complaining. I preached to the young people today, the elementary kids, and had a great time and preached out of Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine, and told them you need to be a shiner, not a whiner. Amen. Be a shiner, not a whiner. No, we got enough whining and bellyaching and complaining and griping going on. It just shows you somebody has let their fire die out. Amen. Maintain that flame. Oh, listen, you want to avoid that spirit of cold, being cold. When you get cold, you know, it's just so uncomfortable, and you get aggravated, and you get irritated, and you're distracted about the things of God. Oh, listen, Apostle Paul, he didn't want the fire to die out. And what he did was he got up and he started to fan that flame, maintain that flame. Don't let your fire expire. Amen. Determine in your heart that you're not going to allow yourself to get cold. Revival is all about change. Things should have changed in your life this week. If you really experience revival. Amen. It's change. And oh, they landed here going through some situations and some struggles, but praise God, they had a fire. Amen. And it's imperative that we maintain the flame to avoid coldness, and secondly, to avoid Carelessness. Carelessness. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul and those people, they landed on this island. They're on this island, and, you know, they're not really familiar with the terrain. They're not really familiar with the surroundings that were there, the place. They appreciated what was going on, but they weren't really familiar with it. And, you know, Paul did not recognize that there were snakes in the area. Who's with me? He didn't know. And I'm sure if he knew there were snakes out there, he wouldn't have grabbed that bundle of, and had that viper latch onto his hand. Amen. And so, you know, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. And, you know, that careless type of spirit will people just try to exist their lives by the seat of their britches without any plan, without any purpose. Just going through life. Just going through life with no real fire, no real desire. We've got to determine to maintain that flame. Amen. Because we need to understand and realize that just because we have revival doesn't mean that the devil's going on vacation. Who's with me? Matter of fact, when he sees Christians that are having revival, I mean, he's going to intensify his work. He's not going to give up. He's going to do everything within his power to try to hinder you as that viper, the devil. He's just like that old snake in the grass. Amen. A roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, indicating to you and I that the devil is very patient. He's very patient. And he's just going to sit there and he's just going to wait and wait and wait till all of a sudden you get careless with something. You get careless with your life. You get careless with relationships. You get careless about your faithfulness and to church. And Satan, he's very, that's why the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, maintain that flame. Amen. Because he just wants to destroy. And how many lives get destroyed because they don't recognize that Satan is patient? Satan is very powerful. He's more powerful than we are. He's a lot stronger than we are. Read the book of Proverbs, the different things. The Bible says, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Amen. Doesn't matter how strong you are spiritually, how many chapters of the Bible you read a day, how many minutes and hours that you pray in a day. Amen. You're still susceptible to temptation. And if you're not careful, sometimes we let that arrogance about our Christianity, and Satan, I mean, it's not long before he's brought down some people. We had a revival in Oklahoma, and Brother Vineyard got up and said it was one of the greatest revivals, and a month later, the man was in jail for molesting children. You know, the power of God is not an endorsement on everything a man says or does. And, you know, a lot of problem is, you know, people get into that man worship. Man worship. And there's been preachers like that, 70s, 80s, and they had that idea about man worship. I believe, you know, and just my own personal opinion and my observation, we lost a generation because of it. What a tragedy. Carelessness. We get careless about some things. We don't understand that the devil, he's still there. I mean, as Brother Clear was teaching us last night about the Acts, and they were doing the Lord's work. Here, Paul was doing something good. Paul was doing the work. Paul was right there trying to be a blessing. Pow! Here comes that viper. Who's with me? Here comes that viper. Secreting that poisonous venom. And, you know, a lot of times it's designed to paralyze people. It paralyzes them. It paralyzes those animals that can't move, and then they eat them up. And Christians, and how many Christians today have been bit, and as a result, they've been paralyzed. Satan, he's very pretentious. I mean, he is the master deceiver. I mean, he is a liar. I mean, listen, he's wicked. And he'll come as an angel of light to try to deceive us. And to try to get us to yield our standards and our convictions. We've got to be so careful. That's why it's important to have a fire. Amen. Because yes, he may have been a little bit careless about the surroundings and snakes. But thank God, you know, he had a fire there where he could shake it off and dispose of it. Who's with me? Maintain your flame. And why? Oh, to avoid that cold attitude. Avoid that careless. Oh, listen, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You get careless with that heart, and then it can be used as a very destructive tool, right? We've got to maintain the flame. Thank God for the flame that's been burning in this church for all these years, and Christian people, and together. But we've got to continue. We've got to let this revival change some things. Amen. And initiate and accelerate our Christianity. We become too cold and we become too careless. And, you know, that's why we need a fire. And it's to avoid complacency. Amen. Complacency, a feeling of self-satisfaction. I mean, you know, you're just kind of proud of what you've done. And so you don't think you need to go any farther in your Christian life. You don't think you need to give any more time. You don't think you need to give any more finances. You think, I mean, you have, that's it. And, you know, that's where so many people are at today. They're just satisfied with the status quo. Who's with me? Status quo, status quo. When I come to church and I hear someone preach, I want God to change me. Amen. I just don't come for the status quo. Because I want that fire to continue to burn. I don't want to get complacent in my Christianity. You know, here, Paul and these fellas, they spent about 3 months on this island. But, you know, Paul did not want to stay on the island. He didn't want to stay. I mean, they almost worshipped him. They start thinking he was a god. And, you know, but the Apostle Paul, he wouldn't allow that type of attitude. And then God used him for those days and weeks and months that he was on that island and to preach. And church history tells us that a church was started, and the governor's dad was supernaturally healed by Paul. And they came out of that blind Romanistic type of worship, and it became a Christian island. But Paul was not content with that. He said, I got to get going on down the line. I got to get where I started out to go, and that's Rome. Amen. I mean, can you imagine? Paul could have easily just set up camp right there for the rest of his life. He had these people that loved him, had those people that worshiped him, had those people thought he was a god. Can you imagine? I mean, he could have just had it made right there. But Paul knew, nope. I've got to continue to grow. I've got to continue to go. I've got to continue to glow. Who's with me? And so he went, and he didn't stay. He went on. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Back in Acts, you know, chapter 20, none of these things moved me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Don't be content with where you are, complacent with where you are spiritually. Amen. Maintain that fire so you can keep going, grow, and set some goals about your Bible reading, your prayer, and reaching people with the gospel. And we want to just keep going forward and keep going forward and keep going forward. We don't want to stop. This church has a great history. This church has experienced some unusual supernatural things, but we don't want to rest on our laurels. We want to keep going because, you know, there's greater things out there in store for this church and for the God tears us coming, the next generation, if we just determine to maintain that flame. Keep the fire burning. And as the preacher said, stoke that fire. The Apostle Paul, and we don't want to have a cold, careless, complacent type of spirits. We want that revival to just keep on going. God's giving you a flame. God's giving you one of the good ways of maintaining that flame putting some wood, stoking that fire, is by coming to the altar. By coming to the altar. I mean, listen, there was a day when, people used to come to the altar. And God would speak, and we'd see folks on the altar crying out. But, you know, one great preacher said, when the tears dry up in the church and people start going to the altar, you might as well write Ichabod, because that church is going to die. Amen. And the last night of the revival, every single one of us had to get on this altar and rededicate ourselves, our commitment, and we had to rededicate and ask God, Lord, help me to maintain that flame. I don't want to get cold. I don't want to get careless. I don't want to get complacent. I want to keep growing for the glory of God. Father, I pray you take the message. Help us to understand it, recognize it. Help us to apply it to our life. Help us, dear God, to keep that fire going. That's what we've done all these years in this church, Lord. Way back yonder, and Pastor Johnson was here, and the fire was going. Then Brother Clear, now he's fanning the flame, maintaining the flame, getting the fire going bigger, bolder, brighter. Help us, dear God. We need that fire. We need to maintain. So many churches have become so cold. We don't want that here in our church, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be diligent. And as a testimony to you, dear God, get on this altar. Let people know I'm going to maintain my flame. Testimony to others. Testimony to the pastor. Oh, we're going to maintain that flame. We're going to keep it going for the glory of God. I pray that you'll bless and use it, and we'll give you the glory for it. It's your name we pray.
Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I don't have to challenge you too much here tonight. We need to fan that flame, keep that flame going. As God has done a work